Okay, who
All
else
right.
is with us this, who's with us this morning?
Brenda. Rachel.
We have Snowden
hey,
and Brenda at a friend's house.
And who at a friend's house?
Brenda.
Okay.
She couldn't get home.
Oh, you got snowed in, Brenda?
She got snowed out. That's what we call snowed out.
Oh, yeah, that's what it's called. Okay.
And we have a new term for it.
Yeah, Rachel, I think your kids probably had a ball.
Oh, yes, he loved it.
Have they seen snow before like that?
He was only a one when it happened, so he doesn't really remember it.
Yeah, well, has
it ever snowed like that when y'all were up in Pittsburgh, Rachel?
We've never really gone up there during snow time.
Uh-huh.
So he hasn't really seen it. So, like, the first night we did Snow Angels in the Yard, and about 5 minutes later, 10 minutes, he started crying. He's like, my hands are cold, I gotta go in. And then yesterday we went out, and we went sleigh riding down our hill.
Uh-huh.
So they were doing that. So he lasted about 35 minutes, and then he came in, and I said to Rick, I'm like, I just want to try it once, just once. Okay. And so Rick did it with me, and we actually did it twice. I was like, oh, my God, this is so much fun. And we're like, okay, we probably should go inside. Our 4-year-old's by himself, and the neighbor's in here. We probably should go in at this point. He's like,
that is funny.
I'm like, myself. He did, but he played for about 35 minutes, and this time, and then he got cold.
Yeah. Well,
it was funny. We saw kids walking back with their sleds. It was very cute, I have to say, the little kids walking back with their sleds. But Scott's like, he's working from home, and he's like, what is their problem? I used to stay out till the crap coming out of my nose was all the way down to my knees. Like, well, okay, thanks for that image.
And
you
got to remember that when you're up north, your skin gets real thick. And
I told him, when they're up north, they have the clothes for this. We don't have waterproof gloves. We don't have waterproof boots. There's a lot of stuff we don't have down here.
We still have boots. Like, none of us had upper boots. Like, we're all in sneakers. And Caleb's, like, in the material ones, like, Keds. Those sneakers, that's all he had. So yesterday he was okay until he got to his feet were cold.
Right.
So,
well, that's true. I mean, we don't own the snow boots like they wear.
Well,
so.
We don't own them because we wouldn't use them but once every 10 years.
Right. Well, no, here we use them every couple of years, but still, it doesn't matter. We still don't.
Ours went all the way to the beach. Don't you know that was funny looking?
Yeah, no doubt. That is pretty funny. We got out of New Orleans, and Scott got out of New Orleans Monday night, and it hit New Orleans early hours Tuesday morning because several of his colleagues got stuck there.
Oh, what a shame.
Well, everything's closed down, so New Orleans isn't too fun with everything closed.
Oh, no.
Yeah, exactly.
No. That's right. I hadn't thought about that.
Exactly. All right. Well, let's go ahead and get started. Did I hear another ding, or was I hearing things? I know Melissa texted me back, but I have not heard from her.
No name came on.
No, she texted me back saying she was awake.
Do you know that she's working today?
I don't know. I mean, she texts me back with a smiley face, so not sure.
That probably don't wake me up.
In.
I'm not working.
No, well, when she texts back the smiley face, that's like, okay.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, Brenda, I like your comment. You're up but not awake. Just not awake. Not up. Got it. I awake, not up. All right, well, let's go ahead and get started, and then as people call on, we'll add them in. But I want to start by saying I'm real excited about this new set that we're doing, this new book. And I will tell you guys, I know I sent out an email late last night, but I did, in doing the research and starting to prepare for the lesson, I also found the book on CD that is The 5 Love Languages for Singles. So I will be going back and forth and utilizing both the 5 Love Languages for Couples and 5 Love Languages for Singles because, of course, we have both in this group. But more importantly, I think it's important that we look at it from both aspects. I know I've done the 5 Love Languages for Couples, and it was very impactful to my marriage. And I've also done the 5 Love Languages for Kids, and for teenagers. And so all of those helped me majorly in just my personal relationships. And so when I found the five love languages for singles and started listening to it, I was like, wow, that's really a very common practice that we need to put in place across the board. So the reason I tell you that is because I'm going to be utilizing both of them, because I do have both of the sets of the series. So I will be kind of toggling between the two, even though I know most of us have the book, The Five Love Languages for Couples. I'm still going to be pulling stuff from that as well, so you won't be completely lost. I also said in the email, if you would like a copy of the CDs, The Five Love Languages for Singles, let me know. I'll be happy to make those for you as well. I know Rachel and Brenda, y'all use my Audible, and so The Five Love Languages for Singles is out on my Audible account, so you guys can listen to it that way as well.
Okay.
All right. So first thing I want to say is in preparing about the study that we're going to be doing is you need to keep a journal of things that you've learned throughout the week, throughout your studies, because your memory will not always recall the things, but your journal will. So I ask that you put a little notebook in with your either your book or however, like I have mine in a notebook that zips up. So however you're keeping your documents together for this study, and if you don't have any way of doing it, I ask that you get a notebook. It doesn't have to zip around, but something that will, or a bag that will keep all your stuff together. You know, I'm the organization queen, and that really helps me stay organized. It also helps me when I travel as much as I do. I grab that notebook and I go, and I know I have everything I need for my study. But more importantly, when I'm preparing or I have a little bit of time, I can just grab that notebook and I'm not looking for my book and looking for my journal and looking. I know right where it is. So I do ask each of you guys to get just a notebook or loose leaf paper, whichever works for you, and have a journal for the next 8 weeks. I think it's 7 weeks. But because, again, when you journal things day to day, it makes a big difference than us trying to remember from last week what we listened to. And I think we saw that in the last study that we did in the 15 invaluable laws of personal growth. So that is one thing that the author highly recommends in doing this study. And I agree. I think, you know, I've mentioned to you guys many times that prayer journals are huge. And in fact, on Monday night, I said to write down a list of the attributes that you want in your life, that you want in your business, and then you claim them. You claim them in prayer. You claim them that you have favor. You claim that you, you know, you are attractive or whatever it is that you're working towards. You claim those, and that's something I was listening to with Joel that was very impactful to me. So I highly encourage you guys to do that. It will definitely make a difference as you put things on paper. I know one thing that I learned when I was going through quite a bit of trying time with Mary Beth, with my daughter, is one of her psychologists recommended that she write a journal each day. And when she's angry, because it was, you know, a teenager girl, she had anger issues, which I don't know what teenage daughter or girl does not. There aren't any. So he said, write it down in this journal. Let this journal be your anger journal and put it on paper and get it out of you. And once you get it out of you, it makes such a difference in the way that you behave. And it was so true. I really saw a difference when she journaled and when she didn't. And still to this day, she journals. And I think that's very important. That was one lesson I learned from her, is that it is very important to get things out of us and on paper. And this is one of the things. So when we're, you know, thinking about things with our relationships or just in general, to journal those feelings. And maybe it's like a prayer journal. If you worry a lot, I told my mother-in-law, create a prayer journal because it helps. It helps get those on paper and get them out of your worry zone, which is our brain. So the journals are very, very important. It's very important to this. So I want to just tell you guys the things that I learned just this week. And what we're going to do, in the email that I sent out, I attached the profile study. And so what you're going to do, it's called Love Languages Personal Profile. And so your challenge this week is to do that personal profile. Now, there's a couple of caveats to that. And the first is you need to do it when you're not rushed for time. You need to do it when you haven't been in an argument with someone. You need to do it when you're feeling somewhat jovialent, somewhat happy, and not, you know, not like giddy, but at least a little bit more than upset. So if everybody is still home today, like, because I think all of Atlanta is still shut down. I know Scott's office isn't opening till after, I think, 1. Today's a good day to do that. And then you can start focusing on what it shows your love language to be. The other part of this study is that this will be needed to put into practice. So when you learn what your spouse's or children's or parents' love language is, it's very important that you put that into practice that week to see the difference and to see, is there a variance that happens in speaking their love language? So the part that I loved at the beginning of the book is it says that when you speak a language and your spouse speaks Chinese, if you don't understand Chinese, they don't understand you. And that's about as opposite as some of these love languages are. So it is so important to be sure to know what your mate or your spouse or your children or your whoever, friends. When I was reading, you know, the five love languages for singles, I didn't realize that it impacts friendships as well. And it does. And the funny part is once I started reading the five love languages for singles, I was pretty shocked at some stats that he gave. And I know, let's see, we have, okay, we're even. Brenda and my mom are single, and Rachel, you and I are married. So, okay, we're even, Steven, here. So, 18 and older, 49 million are never married until the age for women to get married now is 25 and men is 27, which is a good number. We're glad to hear that. So there's different, you know, quadrants basically of the singles. This is the scary part. I have to say this was scary for me to see that widowed, 4 out of 5 people that are widowed are females. And half of all women 65 and older are widowed. That was pretty impactful. I'm like, wow. So it's even more important that we take this to heart now where we are in our lives and so that we make sure that we're speaking the love languages that others need to hear in order for them to feel appreciated and for us to feel loved. And the other thing that was really impactful, and I guess this was God's way of reiterating to me what I've kind of felt all along, is 12 million are single parents. So 1 out of every 3 families are single parents. 40% have never married. They're single parents because they chose to be. The reason I say that's God's way of reiterating it to me because I've really felt led over the course of the past 2 years to find a way to provide some sort of child care at our meetings for single parents because I feel like Mary Kay is a great opportunity for them. However, that Monday night meeting is something that's a showstopper for them if they can't find child care and, you know, paying for child care there where they would pay for a class. I don't know. So it's been on my heart, and that was God's way of saying, yeah, 12 million, 1 out of every 3 families. It was like, wow, okay, thanks for reiterating that to me again. So as you can tell, the single market is a very diverse market. But it also talks about it's not just in intimate relationships, it's in relationships across the board. So what this study is going to do is it's going to help you understand yourself, and it's going to let you know so that what your love language is. And so it really helped me when I knew that. And then also that giving and receiving love is at the center of most of us. It's a need that we have as babies. It's a need God gave us. And so we need to focus on that. And that's why, you know, it was so cool. I found the clip art 2014, It's All About Love. I just thought that was too funny that I was able to find that. And then love is a learned response. It's a learned emotion. So as babies, they just expect to be fed. They expect to be nurtured in a different way. But as they get older, they're loved in a specific way. And like I said, I know when I figured out what my children's love languages were, that I was able to really focus my attention towards giving them what they needed versus my love language, which was far different. So it just really, really impacted our whole family. So we're going to have the term keeping the love tank full. That's across the board. My husband and I, when we did the study, and Rachel, you can attest, well, you can hear this, because I know, I think you and Rick, you said y'all had thought about doing it, but hadn't. We used to have this running joke, is your love tank full? Where's your love tank today? He does say to do that in the couple study. I think it's kind of funny. I mean, we did it as we were doing the study, but sometimes you're like, okay, yeah, right. So, but we can do that to each other as well. You know, if maybe Brenda's having a bad day, or even my mom, you know, if I feel like she's feeling down, you know, I can say, well, why's your love tank empty? Or, you know, and it kind of becomes a funny to lighten the situation at hand. But psychologists have concluded that the need to feel loved is a primary human emotional need. That's what I was saying earlier, is that it really is a need that we're given from God, and it's one that we are desiring to have on a regular basis. So we really need to know what that is for us. So, okay, let me get into just a little bit. We talked about the journaling, which we want to make sure we're doing. That's very, very important. And, you know, love is something you do for someone else, not something you do for yourself. That's pretty important to know. You know, when we do acts of kindness, when we do words of affirmation, it's not because we need to hear them. I know a consultant that was with us on Saturday was, you know, in our car and saying, yeah, oh, my husband's texting me, telling me he's cleaning the house, like, woo-woo, ooh, I do it all the time, and I don't get, you know, that applause. And so I said to her, I said, well, you know, he's saying that because that's what he needs, to be reaffirmed. And I promise you, if you reaffirm him in this, it will go tenfold to your benefit. And so I got a text this on Monday, and the consultant said, wow, thank you so much for that piece of advice. I did exactly that, reaffirmed, as you said, and when I came home Monday night, all of my cabinets had been cleaned out, wiped down, and I was ready for the new year. And I thought, wow, is that what it takes? Wow, I should take my own advice there. But anyway, it was pretty powerful to see that it's exactly that, so knowing the love language. I want to make sure we understand, too, that we as a country are obsessed with the romantic love. If you look at songs, books, the highest-selling novels are romance novels, but factual love is a more realistic love, and that's what the five love languages does. It gives us a factual place to go when we talk about five common love languages that are easy to really decide or study, and it hits pretty much everybody across the board. So that is important to know, because when you're looking at this, we need to make sure we know that it's, you know, the romantic love is something that starts at the beginning of a relationship, and this goes for friendships too. But after the luster wears off, even the friend can annoy us, can like be like, seriously, I got to deal with this, or they have, you know, the little things that bother us and we don't want to be around them as much, you name it. So I want to make sure you guys understand that this study is going to enhance every aspect of your life, not just the romantic relationships. It's going to enhance friendships. It's going to enhance siblings. It's going to enhance all of the above. So make sure that if you make sure that you're doing your journal and you make sure you're doing the studying. And again, the other thing it requests in the study is don't try and listen to this all at once, because what happens is we listen to it, let's say, today, and by next week we've totally forgotten what it is we heard. So try and do a little bit each day, or listen to the chapter each day like I encouraged us to do with the last one. Listen to a little bit of it each day, or listen to it over and over again. These chapters are fairly small, so you should be able to listen to it over and over, and you'll understand the significance of it as you do that. Because, again, love is a learned emotion. So if we can learn what emotion we need to give back, it will make a big difference for us. Okay. Love gives us something to look forward to. I will tell you guys that the story that I heard on the CD for the singles was of a man. He was in a wheelchair, and he actually was injured in a climbing accident. And he says that the love of his parents is what made him want to continue on. And I have to say that, you know, you hear that time and time again in the newspapers and on TV. And I actually witnessed it myself when Mary Beth had her near-fatal car wreck. There was a doctor there that he was actually an intern, and they just hit it off. He thought she was the funniest thing in the world because she was as ornery and, as you call it, whatever it is, as you name, and he thought that was hilarious. And he was, he would come, even when he was not on the ward, on the ICU ward, he would still come to see her. He would still make rounds. He would make his rounds, and then he'd come in just to say hey and see how she was doing and just take a look at her chart. And he was the emergency doctor when she came in after her near-fatal car wreck. Well, that friendship bonded, and it just continued to grow. And I truly, truly believe that that was one of the main reasons that she continued to fight and to get better as fast as she did, because of him making extra effort, which was to her, her love language, which is quality time in a lot of ways. At the time it was, because she was injured, but gifts of service, I mean, gifts are her love language as well. But you can have multiple love languages. That's the other thing I want to mention. You can have more than one. You can have their equal. You can have one that's a little bit higher than the other. So don't think you're all one. It's not like a personality type. Each of us are different. Very few are exactly the same. And couples very rarely have the same love language, very rarely. So don't think you speak the same language as your spouse, because they, nine out of 10 do not. But anyway, so, you know, when I heard that story, it really took me back to that time when I was in the hospital with Mary Beth, and I would just see her light up when he would come in the room, and really encouraged her. And so that was pretty important to see the actual practice that was in the book acted out, not even knowing that's what was happening at the time. So I want you to know, too, that this is going to help you grow in many different ways. So it's going to help you with your quality of relationships, and it will help you in positively affirming others that you're around. I know a lot of times if words of affirmation are something that is, like, for instance, it's Scott's love language, but it's not necessarily mine, it's hard. And I know, like, for Mary Beth, it's Josh's, it's not Mary Beth. It's hard to know what those words of affirmation need to be to make that spouse feel loved. So where are our children, you know, with boys, a lot of times it's words of affirmation. So where is that lacking? It can be personal touch with boys as well. With Victor, it was personal touch. He loved to be hugged. He wanted me to scratch his back until he was 18 years old every night. I mean, it was definitely personal touch. So again, it's where is the language, and it's for children as well as spouses, as well as friends. And so if you can positively affirm that, it will make a big difference. So with that said, the challenge or the homework you have this week is to do the profile and also to, again, go through the first love language. And again, you have to take the profile when you're relaxed, not pressured for time, and not immediately after an argument or a disagreement. So fairly in a good mood and have a sincere desire to learn something about yourself. Okay. That's a key. You have to have a desire to learn something about yourself before you take that, the profile, because that's the whole part of this, is wanting to know what your friends or your significant other or your children, what their love languages are. And so after you take the profile, you're going to know what your love language is, and we're going to share that next week online or, you know, on the call of what the primary love language is for you. And then as a result of that, we're going to then start on the first, it's week two, so chapter, I think it's chapter three in the book, though, and it's words of affirmation is the very first love language that we're going to talk about. And so in week two, we're going to talk about words of affirmation. We're going to talk about some words of affirmation that we can utilize. So where, you know, like I said, where Mary Beth and I previously have struggled with what to say, it might help if that is a primary love language of someone in your life to know and suggest things for that. So did anybody get a chance to actually listen to the first chapter or the first two chapters of the book?
I've listened to the first chapter.
There's Melissa. She made it. Yay.
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, it's just kind of crazy. We don't have a car here, and Duffy's kind of waiting on his four-wheel drive to come get him from work. So I
okay.
got here a little late. I'm so sorry.
No problem. I just was like, I know she sent me a smiley face.
Yeah.
Okay, so you read the first chapter.
Yes.
And I was actually, I think before you dinged in, I was talking about some recommendations I gave this weekend with words of affirmation and the result you saw of it the next day when it was acted on.
It was.
Which is great. Rachel, did you get a chance by chance?
Yeah, I read the first chapter.
Okay, so y'all kind of know what I'm talking about here. And Brenda?
I didn't read it, but I listened to most of the first chapter. I didn't get all the way through it.
Okay, not a problem. I know your book isn't with you. It's at your house, and you're not there. You're snowed out.
Well, I should say
Melissa was almost snowed out, but her husband came and got her. He rescued her. And Mom, I know you didn't have the CDs yet because you didn't get the package.
Right, didn't get the package. So, but I did get the first chapter.
Okay, very good. So y'all kind of know where we're going as far as taking the profile. And the profile's in the book as well, but I emailed it to you in a PDF form. So you can print out the PDF form and take it that way. I like doing that. And you can also probably give it to your spouse if they're willing. I will say we did this as a marriage retreat, and that was the only way some spouses were going to do this. So they need to be willing to do it. They can't take it under protest because the answers are not going to be true. So be sure that, you know, if they're willing, let them take it and then see what happens. But so next week we're going to have the profile done, and we're going to have listened to words of affirmation, and we'll go into a little bit more detail on ways that that will help and how to do it, and then I'll give you guys some actual examples that I have seen in action and seen at work, and thoughts for you guys to take from there. So does anybody have any questions before I want to give you guys what are common themes? Some common themes? Nope.
No
questions. Okay, awesome. What were you going to say, Mom?
I think it's great. I can't wait to get going.
Awesome. Very cool. Okay, so I want to close with this, and this was pretty impactful. You know, I love how, and it's, you know, God just reaffirms. If we are willing to open our eyes and our hearts, he reaffirms us many, many times when we start something like this. Sometimes we just have to be willing to look through the rose thorns to see the roses, just like I was saying on Monday night, to see the open window because it's there. And this was actually an email I got that really impacted me, and then it just totally fit into what we're talking about on the love languages. So it was one of the most common themes of those who were dying, and that was really impactful for me because, you know, one thing I've read is one of the last things somebody wants to know or feel when they're dying is that they weren't loved. So that's why the five love languages was so impactful. But so one of the most common themes was that they wish they had the courage to express their feelings. More people suppressed their feelings in order to keep the peace with others. Now, I'm not saying to go on a royal tyrant to not keep the peace. But as a result, they settled for mediocrity existence and never became who they truly were capable of being with the right love. Many developed illnesses related to the bitterness and resentment they carried as a result. So we can't control the reactions of others. However, people may react differently when you change the way you are speaking love to them. It will raise the relationship to a whole new, healthier level. And if it doesn't, releases that unhealthy relationship from your life. Either way, it's a win for you. So as we go through this, we're going to be acknowledging those relationships that are healthy for us, that people are willing to change their ways or willing to hear us talk in a different way. We shouldn't expect to change someone except ourselves, but that they react differently by us changing ourselves and the language that we're speaking. So I am really excited about this study. Like I said, it was just reaffirmed time and time again this week as I was preparing for the lesson that this is right where God wants us to be, to learn how to really love his people and not only spouses, not only mates, not only parents, but friends and just people that he puts in our life, our customers, our consultants, people that he puts in our path, he puts there for a reason. And I really feel like he's brought this to us to know so that we can love them in the way that he wants us to, for them to be heard, for their love to be heard. So I am really excited about this, guys, and I will let you guys that are snowed in get back to sleep, but I am wide awake now, so hopefully y'all are too. And we will talk next week at the same time.
Great.
Thank you.
Have a great one.
Thanks, Katie.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye. Bye.